So at this point, we want to transition to do a little bit of panel discussion. We have a couple questions for our speakers to generate some discussion. And so I would like to pose the first question to both Rob and Samantha and ask, how have you engaged allies or trusted messengers to help deliver key messages and gain community buy-in for the climate and energy work that you're doing?
This is Samantha. I can start first, Rob, if you want.
Sure, that'd be fine.
We, as I mentioned, the video series that we did that's on the homepage of climatechange.maryland.gov, that was the step we've taken so far with the trusted messengers. We're getting these videos up. And then the next step, as I mentioned, is getting them into the community at local meetings. So that's how we're using them. And also, before we released the climate change plan, we had a scientist who happens to be, who's the president of the University of Maryland Center for Environmental Science, and we're very lucky to have him. He's internationally renowned as a climate change expert. It's President Don Bosch, and he wrote an op-ed for the Baltimore Sun before the release of the climate change plan. So it's through all of those different pieces that we're utilizing those trusted messengers.
Great, thank you. Rob, do you have anything you'd like to share?
Yeah, I think, the way we got, we have a lot of municipalities in this region, as I noted, that are, they've been really inundated about energy and greenhouse gas reduction by vendors who are trying to sell them all kinds of things. One thing we've worked through, there's a lot of mistrust of any of this kind of work. We had one municipality that they'd ordered their receptionist to, anytime anyone mentioned energy, to hang up the phone. So we had a lot of trouble getting through to people. One of the things we did then was we worked through our county planning departments, which have very good relationships with our municipalities, with municipalities we already knew, and with through our Department of Environmental Protection in the state, which has excellent relationships with municipalities. So we tried to find people that they – and once we then talked to the municipalities, we also assured them that we would not have any vendors present at any of the workshops that we held. And that any speaker would not be talking about any sales of products. So that's sort of some of the ways we built trust.
Great, thanks for those examples. My next question is for Connie and Suzanne. How do you tailor a range of strategies to reach a range of audiences and keep them interested, given that folks often have constraints on their budget and limited funds available?
Dan, you want to go first?
I can try. It's a really tough issue, and I guess my first thing would be to really, again, come back to the question of what do you want to achieve? Who are the people who can make the change that you're looking for? And then focus. Don't try to do all the things at once. Don't try to use all the strategy at once. Really try to focus in on your most important audience and maybe a supporting audience to really, get whatever movement on the issue. Focus on the influentials, which is a much smaller task, and make it, I think Rob was really great in laying out sort of their process, and I think this is, it's really the recipe. You really understand and listen to what are their concerns. You make it worth their while. And find the synergies with what you want to achieve. You build a few champions and then think about how the people who are the early adopters, how they can spread the success and the insights that they've gained so that you get, a bigger bang for your buck by them advertising how they have achieved it. Don't ask everyone to show up for every meeting if all you have to do is just, give them the latest update on a meeting or a report or whatever. That's people are busy. You need to simply be aware of that, just as you are in your office with all the tasks. And so you really have to make it worth their while. Make it fun. Bring in food. Whatever you can do, meet on their grounds. Meet when it works for them. simply expect that not everyone is going to show up every time. It's just unrealistic, and it's not personal. It's just life. Those would be my first offhand, you know, suggestions on that one. Connie,
great,
what would you add?
Yeah. Connie, did you have anything you wanted to add?
Yeah, I would just reemphasize what Suzanne said about reaching the influential. We know that interpersonal communication is much more persuasive and influential than mediated messages. And so to the extent that you can get people who already care about the issue to talk to other people, that's going to really extend your reach. And the second thing that I would say is in terms of presenting local impacts, that really connects people to the issue, but that also it's really important to emphasize solvability. And in fact, I've seen some like really effective uses, I'm thinking particularly of the Science Museum of Minnesota, of presenting solutions first before even talking about impacts, because so many people are in despair about the issue of climate change. The people who really get it are in despair, and we need to give them hope so that they will keep active and keep talking about it.
Great, thank you. So we are at the end of our time here, and if speakers are willing to stay on for just an extra minute or two, we can get to some of the questions from the audience. But before people start to drop off, I just wanted to remind our audience that as you leave our webcast today, you'll have the opportunity to provide us with some feedback, particularly on this framework, which we are developing for our website, and we'll provide more in-depth content along with the diagram. And of course, you heard many of these themes emphasized by the speakers today. So this is the framework we're referring to, and the first question you'll see in the exit questionnaire. So please do provide us with your comments and your feedback on the webcast. We really appreciate and value your input and your time to participate with us today. So any questions that we were not able to get to for Q&A, we'll share those with our speakers and get written responses that we can post on our website, so you will get answers to your questions. And so with that, I think we can probably take one or two questions from the audience. Wendy, if you want to ask a couple, and then we'll have to close out to be respectful of folks' time.
Sounds good. The first question then is for Connie Rose-Renoff. One participant wrote, I'm interested to hear your thoughts on using positive messaging to achieve behavioral change. For example, using visuals of a low-carbon future versus talking about the doom and gloom of climate change. Is there research into the effects of positive versus negative messaging?
Yeah, it's the research is not entirely clear, but my own take on it from my understanding of the literature is that those people who don't understand that climate change is harmful need to understand that, but that a greater problem among Americans is the issue of solvability. And so those visions of a low-carbon future and how we can take action that will reduce the threat, that is essential and should be upfront and central.
Great. Thank you, Wendy. Let's do one more question.
Sure. So the next question is for Samantha Kaplan. You talked about having scientists be the trusted sources and speakers at community group meetings. Can you comment on if you're training them for communication? In other words, sometimes scientists speak in data and that sort of thing, rather than compelling and engaging messages around narratives, success stories, generating inspiration and motivation for behavior change.
Yes. In fact, thank you for asking that question, because we will be training all of our trusted sources that will be going out into the community, and they'll all be using tailored PowerPoint presentations at these meetings, but they'll all be developed by us so that we can keep everybody on message. So thank you for pointing that out. But we also want to make sure that not only are we illustrating with images and stories, but that we're also keeping and repeating the simple messages. So that is really, really important, because sometimes when you put a scientist up there, as I'm sure everybody on this call knows, you come out with not understanding but every other word, which was and the. So we really will be training everybody before we send our climate champions out into the community.
Great, thank you. And thanks to all of our speakers for sharing their experiences and expertise today. We did get a number of other questions from the audience, and we will be sure to get written responses to those since we do want to provide everyone with feedback and clarification on the questions that they have. So thank you again to everyone for participating. Our framework, again, is up on the screen here, so you can see that as you go through the exit questionnaire. We greatly appreciate your feedback. We want to build a resource that is most helpful to you in your state and local agencies, and your opportunity to weigh in is at the end of the webcast here with the questionnaire. So thank you again, and we greatly appreciate everyone's questions and our speakers' time. We hope that you will join us for the second and third installments of the webcast on the 11th and the 18th. The registration information was included earlier in the slides. Everyone should have received copies via email earlier this morning. And we will make all of these files available on our website as soon as possible after the conclusion of the series. So thank you, everyone. I greatly appreciate your time, and we hope that you will join us on the next call.
Thank you. This does conclude today's conference call. You may now disconnect.